Good morning. Thank everyone for joining us for this important hearing this morning entitled Keeping the Lights On. Are we doing enough to ensure the reliability and security of the electric grid? I'm pleased to chair the first oversight hearing of this committee has had in quite some time on this important subject. This subject is important to many members of the Senate, as recently indicated by letters sent on a variety of different issues, as well as members of this committee. And I thank the members for joining us this morning. Affordability and reliability of electricity is so commonplace in America today that most people spend little time even thinking about it, except, of course, when the power goes out and when the lights go off. Whether for a few minutes, a few days, or a few weeks, it can be inconvenient, it can be maddening, and it can be also life-threatening. In a small neighborhood just a few blocks from the New York Stock Exchange in 1882, Thomas Edison's Pearl Street Station in Lower Manhattan illuminated 400 lamps in homes, offices, and businesses for the first time for 85 customers. It was indeed a glimmer of how electricity would come to dramatically change and improve and strengthen our country and make our daily lives more convenient and more prosperous. The U.S. electrification rate steadily increased from there, from a few percentage points in the early 1900s to about 70% in the early 1930s. But at that point, only 10% of rural households in America had electricity, compared to 90% of urban homes. With government action and great effort on the part of many parties, rural electrification ramped up and was near 100% by 1960. During the 20th century, electricity production in the U.S. shifted from being produced primarily from coal and hydropower to a diverse mix of coal, natural gas, nuclear, petroleum, and recently other renewables. And with the rapid development of new technologies 50 years from now, we can be certain there will be even more diversity in energy sources to power our country. However, as the economy and technology rapidly evolve, our dependence on electricity only grows. Think about your average day and how much we all rely on electricity. The alarm clock or charged cell phone that wakes you up in the morning, the coffee pot that brews your morning coffee, the toaster warms a bagel, refrigerators that keep fresh fruit, traffic lights that make your commute to work safer, or the phone that you use to stay in contact with friends and family to conduct important business. And that's just to mention a few. There are just a few of the ways we rely on electricity in our daily lives. A power outage of even a few minutes can be a terrible inconvenience, it can be a costly occurrence, or it could be a real threat to public health, particularly when temperatures are very high or very low, or in the aftermath of storms, disasters, hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, mudslides, fires. In Louisiana, we felt the impacts of long-term power outages after natural disasters, which, while understandable, is still extremely difficult to deal with. Today, our committee is here to receive testimony about what both the public and private organizations that have responsibility for this grid are doing to maintain it and to prevent brownouts or blackouts. Can this grid be made smarter and safer, more secure, but doing so in a cost-effective way? Our first panel will focus on new and emerging cyber threats as well as long-standing physical threats to the electricity grid. This committee has already taken steps to address this issue by including in the Energy Policy Act of 2005 a first-of-its-kind provision to establish reliability standards, including ones to address cyber threats to the nation's electric grid. In fact, the electricity sector is still the only part of our national critical infrastructure that is subject to binding cyber threat standards. We will discuss some of that today. As far as the physical threat to the electricity grid is concerned, the attack last year on the Metcalf substation in California's Silicon Valley was the most serious attack ever on the U.S. electricity system. Fortunately, Metcalf did not result in a blackout in Silicon Valley. the horrors of which could only be imagined. But the incident, as it's been reported, came very close to causing the shutdown of a large portion of the Western grid. I commend the electricity industry and its federal and state partners involved for the significant improvements they've made to reduce risk of a physical attack since that took place. I also know that last month, FERC voted to direct NERC, North American Electricity Reliability Corporation, to direct some additional standards and gave it 90 days to do so. Grid reliability is a responsibility of the electricity industry as well as state and federal agency partners. Each of us has a role to play. In my view, it is essential that information regarding an attack or in a threat of an attack be transmitted to others that need that information in a timely, secure, and actionable fashion. I'd like at this time to submit a letter regarding the Feinstein letter to the record and the response by Chairman LaFleur on this subject that we will go into in more detail. Without objection, it will be submitted. I believe that we must take very seriously these issues and develop appropriate responses to these threats, but the response must fit the size and nature of the threat. One size does not fit all. In Louisiana, we have two large utility companies, Entergy and CLECO, as well as a number of relatively small rural co-ops and, of course, municipal utilities. It just doesn't make sense for small co-ops with minimal critical infrastructure to be subject to the same requirements as larger suppliers. We must keep that in view. Our second panel will focus on different aspects of the reliability challenge, whether or not there's sufficient generation and unfettered transmission to keep the lights on when electricity demands peak throughout the country. Senator Manchin and Senator Franken have been particularly focused on this issue. The adequacy of power generation differs a great deal from region to region. So rather than tackling the entire issue at once, at the request of Senator Manchin, who's here today, we'll look at the impact of coal-fired generation requirements in the PJM system on reliability during the polar vortex earlier this year. And I appreciate all the senator's concerns regarding the threat to reliability from coal-fired plant retirements caused by new environmental standards, as well as competition from the gas market. The question of coal retirement is multifaceted. There are different perspectives that will be shared today, and I look forward to a lively discussion on this question with the second panel. So in closing, we have a panel of expert witnesses here today to discuss these issues. Senator Murkowski, I thank you for your help in planning this hearing today and for your cooperation from you and your staff. And I want to thank all of you who traveled a great distance to be with to us today.